Hello, if you would open up to Genesis chapter 42. Genesis chapter 42. I'm going to let you guys know that I'm feeling a little bit under the weather today. I woke up this morning kind of sweating and a little bit dizzy, so just bear with me. If I pass out, Miss Amanda, just come and give us three stanzas of Just As I Am, and we'll close the service, okay? So, but if, you know, our first week here, we talked about the Joseph's bitter brothers, and we talked about how that anger and that jealousy, it grew to the point where his brothers were willing to murder him in order to appease their emotions and their covetousness, which just grew to just such a great extent that they were willing to sell him into slavery. And today, this message is going to kind of be the flip side of the coin. We talked about the covetousness, and today we're going to be talking about the forgiveness. And we're going to see how Joseph has a godly reaction to this negative emotion, to the negative his negative environment that he's in right now. And we're going to see the choice of forgiveness. And I think that forgiveness is a super-duper important subject matter for Christians to always be conscious, like just be thinking about. Because we're in a society right now where, you know, people are quick to disagree with you. They're quick to lash out at you. And it's important that we respond correctly. And it's important that we respond with forgiveness in our hearts. And especially with how fragile families are today, it's important that we have forgiveness in our hearts and in our minds. We're constantly striving for that. Because without forgiveness, you're at war with everyone. So we'll get to that in a moment. But the definition of forgiveness is to stop feeling of resentment towards someone for an offense, flaw, or mistake, to cancel a debt, or to no longer credit an offense against an offender. Forgiveness is vital for our lives, both to be forgiven and to forgive others. We can't walk with God if we're not forgiving. We can't walk with God if we're not forgiven, and we can't walk properly with God if we're not forgiving others. And it's a weight on our soul. If we harbor unforgiveness, it's a weight, and it brings you down. And it's the past, and it's the past full of anger. It's the past full of pain, and it's something that we need to let go. The unforgiveness that a lot of times that we have, if you think about it, the very root of unforgiveness is vengeance. Because, you know, we make a choice or somebody makes a choice around us and it hurts us, and then what do we want to do? We want to lash out. We want to get back at them, or we want to harbor that pain because they hurt us, right? And we want to return that to them. And so it's something that we have to be conscious of. And an unforgiving man is chained by the actions of others, and he alone holds the key to loose himself from those shackles. He must choose to be loosened, though. And if we've seen in Joseph's life, out of anybody, he had a right to be unforgiving, right? He was, you know, his brothers were mean to him. They put him in a pit. They put him in, you know, they sold him into slavery. He was a slave. He, you know, Potiphar's wife tried to seduce him, and all that happened, and he got thrown in prison unjustly. Out of anybody, he had a right to be unforgiving, right? That's what we think. That's our earthly mind. That's what we think. But we're going to see that he doesn't harbor that. He doesn't hold to that. And Joseph has such a godly response. And I want us to notice that. And I want us to see his example, and I want us to follow his example. And in Genesis chapter 42, this is whenever the 7 years of famine is taking place, and Jacob, his father, is sending all of his brothers, except for his youngest Benjamin, to the land of Israel in order to pick up food for the family. And obviously this eventually will lead to them coming in contact with Joseph, because Joseph was the distributor of the food. And at first, they didn't recognize him, because usually the Egyptians were a little bit different than the Jews, because Jews, you know, they would probably have a beard and all that, but the Egyptians, they like to be clean-shaven, sometimes bald. You know, it's a lot like how the movie was, if you guys ever seen The Life of Joseph. The look and the attire would be completely different. So they came to Joseph, and they didn't even recognize him. And he uses this as a means to test his brothers. And I'm going to explain this too in just a moment, that he doesn't, you know, he's going to give his brothers a hard time here. He's going to kind of trick them and kind of lead them along and kind of give them a hard time. He's going to speak roughly to them. But he doesn't do this because of unforgiveness. And he doesn't do this because he's trying to troll them. He doesn't do this because he's, you know, because he's trying to pick on them or anything like that. He's doing it for a very specific reason, and it's to test them. And a lot of the times we get a wrong view of forgiveness. And it's forgiveness is not always about forgetting what happened. Forgiveness is not about ignoring what happens to you, because transgressions happen to you. But sometimes you can't forget those things. Sometimes you just can't ignore those things. And in some stuff, you know, it just can't be let go. But forgiveness is, this is true forgiveness. I want you guys to listen to this. Forgiveness is no longer relating the transgressions to that person. Okay? Let me try to explain this. It's very similar to how a bank, you guys know that banks can allow you to no longer be in debt. Okay, so let's say that you're in debt, and then the banker says, okay, you can't pay these payments, I'm going to release you from this debt. He can actually release the debt, and you no longer have to finish paying off your debt. He allows it to go. The banker, he remembers, though. He has the records of you. He has the records of you of being in debt, and more than likely, in the future, you won't be allowed to, you know, ask for another loan. So, but you're still forgiven. But he still remembers. So it's a lot like that. And I would say that the root of this, back like I was saying, is vengeance. The root of unforgiveness is vengeance. And I want you guys to think about this real quick. Whenever someone does something bad to you, or even if it's just something small, like at the grocery store, you know, somebody is rude to you. I was, we were at this thing the other day, and a bus driver, he was kind of rude to me, because I just asked him a simple question of where to go, and he was just like, and he just, it was his whole aura was just very disrespectful, and I was just kind of like, you could have just said it's to the left, you know, but in my heart, I was like, you know, sometimes I forget that I'm dealing with unsaved people and I'm dealing with sinners. So that's how I have to keep going in order not to hold something like that against people. Because, you know, it's so easy for someone to say something or someone to do something and it spurs you just like that. And then in your heart, you're like, I want to get back at that person. Or, you know, you hope something bad happens to that person. Whenever it's easy for you to look at somebody and say, I hope something bad happens to them, that's a you problem. You need to fix that. That's a heart problem. And to hope ill upon a person is a wrong thing. And your heart, whenever it preys on vengeance for that person, whenever it hopes that something bad happens and that spark of vengeance comes, it's something that's big. Don't ever say that's just a small thought. That's just a thought. Because thinking comes from where? Comes from the heart. So your heart needs to be right in order for your thoughts to be right and then your actions to be right. So if somebody does something big, and it doesn't even have to be big, honestly. It could be something small. I worked with this guy. He was unsaved. He was a Catholic, and he was, you know, I'm baptized, I'm going to heaven kind of guy. And, you know, it was, I understand him of his ignorance, but he was like this. Beep. And he was mad all day. Someone could just say something in the wrong way, and he would just go off. And he wouldn't always say it to them. He'd come over to me, and he'd be cussing them out, and he'd be saying bad things about them. And it might even go into the next day, and he would just be so consumed with this one thing that this person did that he was willing to completely trash this person, trash his character, talk bad about this person, all because of one thing that he did. And you know, it was like, I just remember thinking, this guy is literally living a miserable life because he's letting other people control him through what he gets mad at. And you know, it doesn't do any good, and it left my whole cell as just a toxic environment. It made it good for no one just because of this one guy's attitude. And you have to remember of what Deuteronomy and what Romans 12 says. Romans 12 says that vengeance is mine, I'll repay, saith the Lord. We have to remember that it's God who takes care of people that do wrong, not our responsibility. If we think, okay, somebody's done something wrong, bam, I need to react. No. Let the Lord take care of it because it's His job. It's what He says to do. And He will do it justly. He will do it according to His will. Because if somebody does something bad to you or me, oftentimes we're going to act in the flesh and we're going to do what feels right, which is not always what's right. But if we give it to God, He can't help but do what's right. It's in His nature. And he wants us to give it over to Him, and He wants us to forgive those that ask. If somebody asks for forgiveness, you better be on the ball to forgive. But I want you guys to think about this. It's the people that don't ask is the people that you need to forgive also. Because some people, you know, they're never going to ask for forgiveness. Some people are never going to be available to ask for forgiveness. And some people die. I've heard a lot of people that they're harboring anger to someone that's already dead. And they're holding on to that, and it's weighing on their life, and they can't let it go. And for some reason, they think that it's a part of them. They think that holding on to that anger to that person and that frustration is going to make it any better. But it's in the past, and it needs to stay there. And the opportunity for the repentance and the reconciliation and that confession isn't always available. But that's why it's so important for us to forgive in here. It's important. And why? Because some people won't ask for forgiveness. Some people won't ever change. But those that do you wrong, and whenever you don't forgive them, they have power over you. And, you know, forgiveness is a heart act. Forgiveness is not always about them, because some people will come and they'll ask for forgiveness from you and you can give it to them and you guys can reconcile the relationship. But some people, you know, they don't want anything to do with you, and then what are you left with? It's just you with this anger. It's just you with this pain. It's just you with, you know, fill in the blank. But if you forgive in the heart, right there, it's for you. Forgiveness sometimes is for you, and it's healthy for you. And we forgive so that we can be free from those. We can be free from those people that do us wrong. We can be free from the bondage of the past. If you haven't found your place, we'll be in Genesis chapter 42 in just a second. But I want to see that forgiveness doesn't always result in reconciliation. Sometimes reconciliation, which is two parties coming back together in order to live at peace with each other, sometimes that doesn't happen when you forgive somebody. Sometimes that takes a lot of time. Sometimes that takes a testing, which is what we're going to see that Joseph does with his brothers. So, and I'm also going to prove real quick, not actually real quick, I'm going to wait till later, but I'm going to prove that Joseph forgave his brothers before they came back to Egypt. And I'm going to prove that through the text. But he tests his brothers instead of immediately reconciling with them. And we're going to find ourselves in Genesis chapter 42, starting in verse number 14. And Joseph said unto them, that is it that I spake unto you, saying, ye are spies. Hereby ye shall be proved, which can also be another word for tested. Hereby ye shall be proved, that the life of Pharaoh ye shall not go forth hence, except your youngest brother come hither. Send up one of you, and let him fetch your brother, and ye shall be kept in prison, that your words may be proved. Wherefore there be any truth in you, or else by the life of Pharaoh surely ye are spies. And then in chapter 43, I assume a lot of you guys, most of you guys know the story of Joseph, where he's, you know, his brothers, they come, and he's very rough with them, and he says right here, he says, okay, you guys are spies. And they say, no, we're not spies. And he says, okay, you know, he starts asking them questions about their father. He starts asking them questions about their family. And he finds out that there's a younger brother named Benjamin. And because Benjamin is the youngest, and he finds out that Benjamin is the youngest from his mother's side. And so he says, I want to see this younger brother. I want you to bring him to me. I want you to bring him here to Egypt to prove that you guys aren't spies. And so the brothers, they go back to their father, Jacob, and their father says, no, we're not going to do that. I'm not going to let you take Benjamin because of what happened to Joseph. I'm not going to let you take him because I don't want to lose him like I lost Joseph. I can't handle it. If this happens, I'm going to die a sad, gray-haired man. And he just talks about how he won't let his son go. But eventually, obviously the famine is happening, and times are so rough that he has no other choice. He has to send the brothers back in order to get more food for the family. So he sends the brothers back to Egypt with Benjamin. And Joseph, once again, he's testing them in another way. But this time, he gives them their corn, he gives them their grain, whatever food resources that they need, and he puts a silver cup, the silver cup from his house, into the bag of Benjamin, the youngest son. And he does this, get this, to test his brothers to see if they're willing to leave their younger brother aside like they did to him. And, you know, I think it's poetic. I think it's dramatic. I think there's just some sort of, like, it's almost a cinematic quality to this, to where, you know, the brothers are met with this decision to repeat the mistake of the past. And they come to this point where now they can either do what they've done before and act selfishly, or they can be selfless and do the right thing for the greater good of the family. And so Judah in chapter 44, he steps up and he says, take my life instead of Benjamin's. Don't put him into slavery. Don't keep him in Egypt. Take me instead. And whenever Joseph heard this, it was like, okay, there's a change there. There's something different. I can now reestablish this relationship because he's changed, because there's been a change. And, you know, he's seen that it was good, and it was good in the sight of Joseph. And afterward, he reveals his identity to them, and he reestablishes the relationship with them. And he breaks down in tears. And he said, he just shows his love to them. And this is the love that he shows to them. He says, be not grieved. This is in chapter 45, verse 5. He says, be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves. This is awesome, guys. Because he says, not just have I forgiven you, but I want you to forgive yourselves. That's love. That's true forgiveness. Whenever you can look at somebody that's done you wrong and says, and say to them, I want you to live a good life. I want you to be happy. I don't want you to be angry. I don't want you to be angry with yourselves. I want you to not be grieved. That's true forgiveness. And Joseph shows that he not just forgave them, but he wants them to live in that state of unforgiveness. And this account, this whole account, proves that there was a change, and that he can then reconcile, and that he's willing to reconcile. But he already forgave them. Let's look in chapter 41, verse 50. Chapter 41, verse 50. Chapter 41, verse 50 says, and unto Joseph were born two sons before the years of famine came, which Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bare unto him. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God said, he hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. And the name of the second called he Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. So he has two kids, and he does two things. And I think this is a perfect representation of the two things that he did in his life. The first son, his name is Manasseh, and it says, for God hath made me to forget all my toil in the house of my father. So right there, that's him getting over what had happened in the past. And he names his son Manasseh as a memorial, as a token of remembrance. So whenever he sees his son, he says, I have forgotten the things of the past. I am letting go of the things of the past. And his second son, he named him Ephraim, which means God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. And that's so important because he says, you know what? I've let go of the past and I'm living in the present and I see the blessings of the present. Because somebody that is living in unforgiveness will not see the blessings of the present because they're tied to the past. Their eyes aren't on the present. They're not on God. They're not on the good things. They're on the bad things. They're looking always back. And it's so important that we live with these two thoughts in mind. Always letting go of the things of the past. Letting go of the pain. Letting go of the transgressions of others. Forgiving them. And saying, okay, I am now living in the present. I can't change the past. I can only change now. And what am I going to do? I'm going to forgive. And I'm going to see the blessings of God. And I'm going to live in that light. And I think it would be wrong for us to continue on tonight and not look at the life of Jesus when we're talking about forgiveness. Because he is the pinnacle of forgiveness. He is the reason we can forgive. And so I want you guys to turn to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. We're going to start in verse 21. It says, Then came Peter unto him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? And Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. I'm going to say real quick, how many times does God forgive us? It's a lot more than 70 times 7. Let's keep going. In 23 it says, Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But for so much as he had not to pay his lord, commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children, all that he had, and the payment to be settled. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. And the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid his hands on him, and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servant saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their lord all that was done. Then his lord, after that he called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I have pity on thee? And the Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you. If ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. God has forgiven us without number. I can't put a number on how many times I've sinned. And I think for us to not see our sins, like if you're here today and you say, my sin's not that bad, you need to check your salvation because you might not be saved. Because if we're conscious of our sin, we know how much we sin. And it's so great. And our Father in heaven, whenever he sent Jesus down, he saved us from that sin. And he forgave us. And And for us to have received that level of forgiveness and for us to not extend it to others would be wrong. Because we are the servant that owed 10,000. And when someone does something wrong to us, that's only the servant that owed 100. And we need to see those people for what they are. They're humans just like us. And I want us to look at one other passage. Let's turn to John chapter 8. Sometimes this is just a healthy reminder of who we are. I think the biggest thing with living the right Christian life is to see yourself for who you are and see God for who He is. And I think if you can do those two things, you can live the Christian life wonderfully. But let's pick up in John chapter 8. We'll start in verse 1. It says, Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning He came again into the temple, and all the people came unto Him. And He sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto Him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto Him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. Now, Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? This they said, tempting Him, that they might have to accuse Him. But Jesus stooped down with His finger and wrote on the ground, as though He heard them not. So when they continued asking Him, He lifted up Himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again He stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up Himself and saw none but the woman, He said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? And she said, No, my Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. We are quick to judge other people. We are quick to snap back at other people. But sometimes we forget that we're just as guilty. And sometimes we hold ourselves on this pinnacle saying, you know, I don't sin like that. And we're just quick to just, bam, judge those people so quickly and cast lightning at them, you know, of righteousness, of this holy indignation. But we forget that we are sinners. We live in a culture right now, I just think because it's June right now and it's the LGBT, you know, Q, whatever, I forget how many letters we have, and I see Christians reacting poorly sometimes. I see Christians acting correctly as well. So, it's that way with anything. But we have this whole entire movement of sin, and that's what that is. It's just purely sin. Every aspect of it is sin. They say in the name of love, under the banner of love, they are committing really disgusting sins. And sometimes we can stand here and say, you know, I'm not like that person, but you lie. You say, I'm not a transvestite, but you gossip. You know, we're so quick to just cast at them, but sometimes we don't say, what's wrong with me? You know, sometimes we're willing to react. Sometimes we're willing to be rude to people, and it's not right. It's not right. And, you know, God, He has forgiven us of all things. And for us to take action against people, to have vengeance in our hearts, to be unforgiving for these people, it's wrong. We need to show the love of Christ, because He came down to earth to die for us so that we could live for Him. So that we could show that love to others. And, you know, His forgiveness for us is why we can forgive others. And he endured the cross so that we might be forgiven and that we can be an example to others. Can we forgive people? Yes. We can forgive anybody of anything. Is it hard? Sometimes. Sometimes it's pretty hard. But we need to develop a culture, especially in this church, especially in this town, in our workplaces, of quick forgiveness. Whenever you quickly forgive somebody that does you wrong, the unsaved world, they think you're like Muhammad or something, like you're on another level spiritually, because they're not used to that. They're used to people hating. They're used to people just being so quick to attack. And if we can develop a culture in our hearts and in our minds of forgiveness and of quick forgiveness, because sometimes we think, well, I just want to hold on to it a little bit longer. Today's the day. Right now is the time to let go of something of the past, to let go of something that somebody did to you. And it could be something small, or it could be something very large. I understand that some people, you know, I worked in a job where I was surrounded by a lot of unsaved people. And, you know, at first, whenever I was growing up, I thought, you know, my family's okay. You know, I just have a pretty okay family. But whenever I got to that job and people were telling me about their childhoods, I was like, man, I have a great life. My parents are awesome. Because these people were talking about abuse. They were talking about, I can't even say it here, you know, in front of you guys. It's just some really bad stuff that happened to these people. And they can forgive. They should forgive, but they won't because they don't know Christ. They won't do it because they don't know any better, but we know better. So even if something bad has happened in your life and you're not sure exactly how to get over it, it's one of those things that you have to give over to the Lord. You say, Lord, I don't know how to forgive this person. But just know that if you don't forgive that person, you're holding a weight right now. And that weight's going to carry you down into misery. It's gonna hinder you from walking the life that God wants you to walk. So I'm going to close today. And I want you guys to take a second and think, is there anybody that I haven't forgiven? Whether it be from this week or from 20 years ago. And be willing to forgive that person, because if you don't, you're not going to move forward like you should. So I'm going to pray, and I'm just going to give a second of just some silence, and you guys can pray also, and then we'll go ahead and close, okay? Heavenly Father, Lord, I just ask that you'd be with us now, and that you'd help us to just see as you see, and that we see our hearts, and if we're holding something against somebody or not forgiving as we ought to, Lord, I ask that you would just work on our hearts now. I'm going to take a second if you guys just want to pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank you for your forgiveness. Lord, I thank you that we have an example. I thank you that you've given us the Bible. And Lord, I thank you that you can enable us to forgive whoever. And Lord, I just ask that you'd be with us now and that you'd be with this church. You'd help us to be a shining light to the people. And Lord, I ask that you'd be with all those that are out sick tonight, that you'd give them strength and you'd give them help. And Lord, I ask that you would encourage each heart here. And Lord, help us to walk out of these doors just knowing that we have the victory in you and that we can walk in your strength and in your might. And Lord, I just thank you so much for your love that you show us every day. And you give us just this beautiful world to live in. You give us these lives to live. You help us to be a witness for you. Lord, I ask that you would use us. I ask that you would grow us and you'd keep growing us until the day that we die. And Lord, I ask that you would just guide us now. Lord, we thank you so much for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen.